It would have been the spring of 1970, probably April or May. At this time, I was not a Christian. I did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and quite frankly, I probably didn't want to. I was not interested at that time in my life. My lifestyle was nothing to brag about. It was only to be ashamed of. So about 12 o'clock, maybe after 12 o'clock midnight, sometime in the early morning in North Hollywood, California, I walked out of a bar. And outside of the bar, as I walked out on the sidewalk, there was a young man. I guessed him to be maybe 12 years old, maybe older, but just a young fellow. And as I walked out, he grabbed my coat sleeve like this, and he said, Mister, do you know Jesus as your Savior? I pulled back away from him and just walked. I pretended that I didn't hear him. I certainly gave him the impression I didn't want to respond. And so I walked. As I walked away, I heard his voice. He said, Mister, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to hell. I never flinched. I never turned around. I never responded. A few months later, in August of that same year, a total stranger, 3,000 miles away I had traveled, told me about God's love, told me about the Lord Jesus dying on a cross for me, and raising from the dead to give me forgiveness of sins and new life. Guess who I thought about? That little boy. I have no idea what he was doing there. And I know he wasn't an angel, because angels don't have the right to preach the gospel. An angel came to Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10 and told him to go find a man called Peter. He'll tell you how to get saved. The angel couldn't do it. So he was a real guy, a real young man with a real message. That day, August the 29th, 1970, 9 o'clock in the morning, I became a Christian. And I know that little guy sowed a seed in my heart, and I look forward to meeting him someday. Now, this is what we call Resurrection Sunday. This is a time that Christians all over the world celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the gospel message, there are several things that are believable, and there's one thing in particular that's unbelievable, and that's the resurrection. We know people die. We've gone to funerals. We see them put into the ground, and there they lay. The gospel message is that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and then we move into the realm of the unbelievable. On the third day, God raised him from the dead. If you read it on the internet, if you heard it on TV or saw it, that Mr. Brown died on Friday, he was buried, and on Sunday morning, he somehow miraculously dug himself out of the grave and went home and had breakfast with his family. You would not believe that. You'd say he wasn't really dead. Dead people don't get up. But Jesus did. I'll tell you how important that is for the Christian faith. Without the resurrection, are you listening? Without the resurrection, you got nothing. You got nothing. Good luck. That's all you got. Not even a prayer. The Apostle Paul, writing to the believers at Corinth, put it like this. Just let me rehearse it for you. He said, if Christ is not risen, preaching is empty and faith is also empty. If something is empty, it means it has no value. Oh, if Christ didn't rise, what am I doing preaching? No value in preaching. What about our faith? Empty. No reality to it. In that same chapter, he says, we're false witnesses. He said, if Christ did not rise from the dead, all preachers are liars. He's talking about something that's not true. False witnesses, if we say he did rise from the dead and he didn't. If Christ is not risen, our faith is futile. That means useless, and you're still in your sins. I mean, no hope. You see, my message to you this morning is that no matter who you are, what color of skin you have, what language you speak, where you came from, the backwoods of a jungle or the asphalt jungles of a big city, what kind of education you have, doesn't matter. Christ died for all. Christ took your sin in his body on the tree, paid the penalty. What's the penalty? Death. The wages of sin is death. Guess who died? Lord Jesus. And was buried and was raised the third day. If that is not true, why would I preach that? Why would I tell you that? You're still in your sins. And then he goes on to put it like this, and all of those who believe that message and have died physically, they're done. They perish. No hope. Do you see how important this doctrine is? Some years ago, Dr. John Lennox and Dr. help me, Richard Dawkins, thank you, had a public debate on TV at some university somewhere, and Richard Dawkins was a proponent of atheism, no God, Bible's just a big book, no truth. And Dr. John Lennox was a proponent for the Bible and for God and for creation and for Christianity, and they debated that. Richard Dawkins had written a book, I forget what it was, that denies anything about God. So they took the book and they were debating that. You can get it, I'm sure, on YouTube. Richard Dawkins, John Lennox debate. It's worth it. So they go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and then they have their final statements. They each had a final statement. And so the moderator said, Mr. Lennox, you go first, and then Mr. Dawkins, you can go last. So John Lennox, in his final statement of debating the existence of God, of creation, of the Lord Jesus, of the gospel, his final words was the resurrection. You take away the resurrection and the bad guys win. There's no truth. There's no use. Done. And so John, very adequately, very scripturally, very accurately, told about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, man's hope. Okay? You know what Richard Dawkins said? Of course, they knew one another. They had taught in years past together. Richard said, John, I expected more from you than that. You see, the preaching of the cross, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, are you listening? To those that perish, a foolishness. Just foolishness. Just some legend, just some myth, just something that man has made up. John, I expected more from you. Something in a higher realm, something more educated, some more philosophy, some greater debate. Is that all you got, John? That's all John needs. It's all you need. You need to get in touch with the resurrected Jesus Christ. Without him, sorry, I can offer you nothing. Nothing. Without a resurrected Christ, let me tell you how this is going to go down. For those that don't want the Lord, this is as good as it's going to ever get for you on earth. It won't get any better. Because after death comes the judgment, and you will face the man that you deny and you reject. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 20, please. Book of the Revelation, near the end of your Bible. Chapter 20. One day, God is going to put the final period on the final sentence, on the final paragraph, on the final page, on the final book. And time as we know it will be no more. The French theologian put it like this: one day God is going to step out of heaven with a big ring of keys and say, gentlemen, it is closing time. Lock it up. Everything that man has dreamed for and schemed for and sold his soul for is going to turn to rust and dust and corruption and melt with a fervent heat. It will be gone. But it's not over. There's one final event in time before eternity is ushered in. This is the last event in time. Let me read it for you. Verse 11, Revelation chapter 20. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the small and the great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Last event in time. This is what we call the final judgment. Now, for you believers, please listen to me. You will not be at this judgment. Your sins have been forgiven. Your sins have been cast into the depths of the sea, behind the back of God, as far as the east is from the west. No more. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ does not atone for sin. It takes sin away. Atone means to cover. What if in ages in the future something uncovered your sin? That'll never happen. They're gone. The sins are gone. And you will never stand before the great white throne judgment. There's a judgment for the believer, but not for sins. But if you reject the Savior, you'll be here. I've had people say to me, I don't believe that stuff. You know what I tell them? If you ever get lost, give me a call. You see, in order to realize how significant this is, you got to realize you've offended a holy and a righteous God, and you're in trouble. You don't know that? You don't believe that? You don't feel that big hurt in your heart? You don't know there's a big emptiness in your life that only God, only the Lord Jesus can fill? You're just going to walk out that door and say, that guy went a little overtime this morning. I wish he'd have just sat down 15 minutes ago. You don't get it. But you have an unbreakable appointment with Jesus Christ, and this is it. A few things. Who is the one that sits on the throne? Who is he? The heaven and the earth flew away, no place found for them. Done. They're gone. Who is this? Let me tell you who this person is not. The judge that sits on this throne is not your wife or your husband or your children or your parents or some prejudiced person that might cut you a little slack. No. This person is Jesus Christ himself. Listen, the Father judges no man but has committed all judgment under the Son. It's the Lord Jesus. There's nobody in the universe more equipped, more prepared, more able, more compassionate, more just, more righteous than that man, Jesus Christ himself. Now, just in case we say, well, what difference does that make? God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he has given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. Acts 17:31. What does that mean? That means you can't have court if the judge is dead. That's what that means. See, not only is God going to raise the defendants, but he's raising the judge. And it is Jesus Christ himself that sits on the throne. So look at verse 12. He saw the dead, the small and the great, and they were standing before God. Who are they? Who are these people? From the beginning of creation until this day, they are the people that said, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. Matter of fact, God's not big enough to make me serve him. They stick out their chest, they wave their fist in the face of God and say, if there is a God, he's not big enough to make me serve him. That's who they are. You see, it says dead. They're all dead. They're dead in trespasses and sins. Their sins separate them from God. They've never sought a Savior. They've never sought any way to have their sins forgiven. They're dead in their sins and in their trespasses. They have no hope. It doesn't matter if they're small or great. Doesn't matter what size you are. Doesn't matter what education you have. Doesn't matter what reputation you have. Doesn't matter what importance you have. It makes no difference to God. They all have one thing in common. No Christ. No God. know Christ. There'll be good people there. Your neighbor that is trying to make some inroads to God by going to his church. He's a good guy, basically, we think. He helps you cut your grass. But he's rejected Christ. He wants nothing to do with Christ. He's got his, they often say it like this, I got my own religion. Ah, what a shame. Their own religion, not God's way, their own religion. These people are in a category of Christ rejectors. If I said to you, on the day the Lord Jesus was crucified, if you were there, we sang it. Were you there when they crucified the Lord? We sang that earlier this morning. And let's picture that for a minute. We're in the crowd, okay? We're in the crowd. And they're nailing the Lord Jesus to the cross. They got the cross on the ground, and they got the Lord Jesus on the ground, and the Roman soldiers are just hammering the nails in his hands and in his feet. Could you imagine yourself tapping that shoulder, that Roman soldier on his shoulder and say, excuse me, could I have a swing with that hammer? I'd like to nail one of those nails into Jesus. You know what you'd say? I'm sure you'd say, God forbid. Oh, I would never do anything like that. You don't know what you'd do if you were there. If you won't accept God's free gift of salvation, if you won't accept God's love, if you don't want anything to do with God's plan, you might as well take a hammer and a nail and just drive it in. That's the way God sees you. You reject his son. How are they judged? Look at verse 12 again. The books are open, and another book is open, which is the book of life. So we got books, and we got another book. Well, I got a book here. It's called the Bible. It has 66 books within it. I don't know what the books are, but the books are open. Maybe it's the Bible. There's another book called the Book of Life, but then we're told the dead were judged according to their book, according to their works, by the things which are written in the book. So it's almost like God says, "Well, let's just figure this out for a minute." Oh yeah, Old Testament, New Testament, here, there, and you don't pass. You don't bring up. You're not up to God's standard. Listen to what the Bible says. All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. Nobody coming up to the standard. And the books will tell us that. And so they are judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. Let me quickly go to the next part, which I'd like to say is every trial has basically three parts. You got the evidence, you got the defense, and you get the verdict. Notice it now, according written, the things which are written in the books. Verse 13. The death and hell delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged according to their works. Let's think of that for a moment as being the evidence. What's the evidence? It's your life. Just your life. Just think back. Just reflect. I hope I don't die by drowning, because they say when you drown, your whole life flashes before you. So I'm not sure I'd like that, but I don't even know if that's true. But I know this. It's going to be true this day. Because this is your life. God just puts it on the big screen and says, watch this. This is the evidence. Where you were born, how you were raised, how you acted, things you said, things you thought, the way you responded. You probably will remember many, many times in your life where God is calling you and trying to get your attention, and you put him off. Or maybe the first time that little boy tried to tell me about the Lord Jesus and how I could escape from hell. I didn't want anything to do with that. It will flash up. Your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, somebody is trying to reach you, and you say no and no, and you harden your heart and you harden your heart and you harden your heart. And the next thing you know, you're standing right here. This is you. And the evidence is undeniable. Every word, every thought, every deed, it's all recorded in God's books. That's the evidence. What will you say? What's the defense? You say, well, I didn't think it was true. That's not going to be any good for you, because I'm telling you right now it's true, and you better believe it. It's not going to work. This is God's word. It's not what I say. This is God's word. You say, well, I was afraid of what my friends would say, or my wife, or my... They're not going to stand in for you on this day. You will be there alone before God, the Lord Jesus himself. I didn't mean it. Well, why'd you do it? I'd like to change my mind. It's too late. What is your defense? You know, when God puts your life on the big screen, it's going to mount up into one big, ugly mountain of sin and rejection against God. And the only thing you're going to be able to say is, guilty. Guilty. Can't deny it. You got a God that knows everything. He's recorded it. It's true, and you know it. You're ashamed, but you can't do anything about it. That's the defense. What's the verdict? Verse 15, anyone not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. That's the verdict. I don't like that any more than you do. That don't sound good to me. This is not for a few minutes, not for a month, not for a year. You don't get 25-year life in this case. This is forever and ever and ever. When the Lord Jesus was crucified, there was a soldier that dropped his club that day. They said, break all the legs, hasten death, time's running out, let's just do it. And he dropped his club that day. He broke the legs of the two other. He dropped his club that day, and he took a spear. Nobody told him to take the spear, but he took the spear because he's fulfilling scripture. He didn't even know that. And he thrust that spear into the side of the Lord Jesus, not to kill him. He had already given his life for you. He gave his life. They didn't take him. They didn't kill him. He didn't suffocate. He didn't die from exhaustion. He didn't die from blood loss. He gave his life for you. You got that? He gave it for you. Willingly gave it for you. That soldier thrust that spear into the side of a dead man. Water and blood came out. Now watch this. Let me illustrate this for you. Because if you don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ, what I'm about to illustrate for you is your position before God. Here's the way it goes. The soldier thrust the spear into the side of the Lord Jesus, and he pulls it out. He got that spear in his hand. And off of the head of that spirit is dripping the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And he walks away. And every step he takes, he tramples on the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood that could cleanse him from all sin, he rejected that. That blood, the only way in which he can be forgiven, he rejected that. Therefore, I can almost see the Lord Jesus with tears streaming down his cheeks. I would you would not. I tried. I sent friends. I sent Christians. People prayed for you. They gave you a Bible. You went to church. You heard the message. You would not. And at this time, and on this day, this is what he's got to say. Depart from me. Iniquity, I do not know you. Into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's just what the Bible says, folks. I don't make that up. You know what I'm going to ask you to do? Settle your case out of court. You don't need to wait for this day. You can accept Christ today. Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. Today's the day I say, I'm the sinner, he's the Savior, and I want him to save me. I want to be in his family. I want to be forgiven. I want all these wonderful things that God has. I accept the gift of eternal life. I receive Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. Settle your case out of court. Meet him as the Lamb of God that takes away your sin, because if you reject the Lamb, you will meet him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, your judge. But you will meet Jesus Christ. May God help you make the best decision. That's all I can do is tell you the truth. Are we going to have any announcements, or shall I just close in prayer? Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for a message that's so simple that a little child can understand. God loves them. Jesus died for them. And Father, we know you want nobody to go to the great white throne. We know that. Oh God, we pray that no one in this room would ever go to the great white throne, or no one listening online would ever go to the great white throne, because there is no return from the great white throne. It's only forward into the lake of fire forever and ever. Thank you for being gracious and long-suffering. And Lord, please, in thy mercy, just keep convicting, keep showing your love, and maybe even today, some poor sinner might say, I am through running, I am done doubting, I want Christ to be my Savior right now. In Jesus' name, amen.